Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small businesses. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity of Matty G Digital.
And before we get started, head over to kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca/checklist and download Matt and Brian's marketing checklist for Kawartha Small Business. We are recording from the Thrive Podcast Studio at Thrive Coworking Community, 18 Kent Street West in downtown Lindsay. All right, Matt, today we are unpacking a fun trip that we took to Las Vegas, and we wanted to do an episode that's just some lessons from Vegas, because I think you and I both, while we were there, had a great time, and there was just a lot of interactions where we were thinking, man, this is like just some really good business fundamentals and things that we can learn, you know, that apply to small businesses everywhere.
Extraordinary customer service and hospitality there in a place where I don't know if it's needed, because people are going there in droves. Are they ever going to not be going there? Do they need to work so hard and be so hospitable? Or is it just going to naturally happen that those hotels and restaurants and everything fill up?
Yeah, that's a interesting sort of way to kick us off about sort of thoughts on Vegas in general. Because I think in some ways you're like, yeah, like people are just going to go anyway. But I mean, if it was terrible, people would probably stop going. But what I think is neat is that maybe it's the culture in the city where you're right. Great customer service everywhere. I was trying to think, you know, I've been to like New York or like places that feel like a tourist trap where you're like in a lineup all day doing all of these things.
That's Florida.
And I haven't been to Florida, but like almost everywhere in Vegas felt like a small business almost, or even like smaller places, like this, you know, service was great basically everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know that I interacted with anyone who wasn't sort of happy, friendly. And I don't know if maybe those people just don't get jobs there, but it felt like, one of the things was with the service industry is nobody felt like it was like a temporary thing that they were just doing so they could do something else. Like they felt like this is my job. Like they enjoyed what they did. There's probably enough where it's like, hey, if this restaurant doesn't want me to serve here, you know, I'll go somewhere else and work. So, you know, again, culturally or just the industry, like it was just fascinating to like not experience bad service or rude people anywhere, like the whole time.
Yeah, I can't add anything to what you said. It was fascinating to think about how there was just smiling, happy employees everywhere. And yeah, there's a job shortage or employee, what are we calling it now? The labor shortage.
Yeah, there's
the labor crisis. Maybe it's happening somewhere. It does not seem like it's happening in Vegas. Those people are extremely happy, or they're doing their job so well. Like I'm having a hard time and I'm like racking my brain to think about a bad interaction I had with anybody there. And I was fascinated by that. I was fascinated by, and this is, I guess, related to hospitality and customer service in general, like how good the food was everywhere we went, where I didn't think it had to be as good as it was. Or I was like, okay, this is going to be, like we went to, I was going to say, we're not going to name place, but we are because it was good. But like the first place we went to was Ramsay Burger. Like as soon as we put our bags down in our hotel lobby was Ramsay Burger. I like Gordon Ramsay a lot. Burgers are maybe my favorite food. I could not have cared less if I went to this restaurant. I thought it was going to be all name, all show, overpriced, basic burger, probably not good. It was the best burger I've ever had in my life. Every component of it was outstanding. And I just kept thinking, like, this doesn't need to be so good. Like, it could just be okay, and people would still continue to go.
Still line up, get your picture taken, and have it.
Yeah, we waited in line for 30 minutes, and it was, like, a fast line. And, like, I still can't believe how good that was. And everywhere we went, the food. I had one bad food experience, and it was kind of my own fault. It was Starbucks.
Oh, yeah. That's
a different conversation. Anyways, but everywhere we went, it was, like, really, really, really good. And does it need to be that good? Like, are the numbers, like, there's so many tourists there that it's just going to fill up most of those restaurants if they do a tiny bit of marketing? I guess all those restaurants do marketing also,
which is fascinating. You know, we had our Uber driver say about, you know, places don't last 5 weeks in Vegas. So I think you have to be good to keep up. But even, you know, you're talking about it was good everywhere. And one of the things I noticed was, you know, walking through, you know, it's like a giant mall. So I was walking through, like, I think the Venetian. And I'm like, who eats at this? Like, you know, all these places in Las Vegas. And it's like, why is someone at, like, what looks like a restaurant in a mall? And then I, like, walk close by and I sort of, you know, take the glance at what people are eating. And I was like, oh, that's why. Like, it looked outstanding. Like, I didn't see a bad plate of food the whole time. I was like, is it just, like, good stuff, like, everywhere? And I think there seemed to be, like, a pride in what people were making. Like, you know, I had an outstanding dessert at what looked kind of like a convenience store in the corner of the Venetian. What was it? I had a tiramisu and a cappuccino, and it was outstanding. Like, it was one of the best I've ever had, and it was in, like, a cooler. It was, like, desserts lined up, and I had trouble picking what I wanted, and I was like, well, I guess I'll have this. And, it was outstanding, which I just think was, like, kind of interesting. And one of the things I thought is, you know, when we compare it to, I think it's an Ontario culture thing where a lot of people in business are trying to live up to some weird external expectation, or they want to be like the big giant business that, like, takes over the world, or they feel like, I hate the term when people are like, oh, I'm just serving, or I'm, you know, we've commodified, like, the labor of serving, where it's not a profession, it's not something we value. I know people who are excellent at it, but they feel like it's something they have to get out of. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's partly from chronic, like, understaffing, so it, like, burns people out, or if it's just we, for some reason, culturally don't see it as, like, a viable career. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, in Vegas, like, that's what people's job was. It was their labor. They probably weren't, you know, they weren't making $1 million a year, but they seemed like happy, interesting people. There's some, like, bartenders that would just seem like interesting, normal people. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't feel like it was, like, a temporary job until they could go do something else.
Jason Willick at the Cooperators was the one that taught me to stop saying the word just. And I forget how I was talking to him one time, and he's like, he hates the word just.
Yeah.
You're not just doing this, or you're not just doing that. It's like, everything you do is for a purpose.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's really interesting. And honestly, since I had that conversation with him, like, a year and a half ago, I've never, maybe not never, but I've, like, very specifically tried to take the word just out of my emails.
Yeah.
Because I used to be like, hey, I'm just emailing you for, like, no, like, take that out. Yeah. Be firm, be strong, be confident.
Yeah, own it, like, enjoy it. And I think, you know, from Vegas, it was like, people seemed happy with their job. Mm-hmm. I met a guy who was, like, a tour guide at the Mob Museum, and he, like, did the experience show and talked through some things, and it just seemed like a happy, great guy. And, like, you're doing that every day type of thing. But, like, you know, maybe it's because people are generally there to have a good time. I do think, you know, the spectrum of people with their expectations is still wide. Like, there's people who are there to, like, walk around and drink all day. There's people looking for fancy experience who probably had high expectations for, like, levels of service everywhere. But people just seemed to manage it really well, like the whole way through.
It was cool that there was something for everyone at every price point. So like weeks before we went to Vegas, my sister went to Vegas and she complained that she ended up at a Denny's for a meal and we made fun of her real good over and over and over again. And then when I was there, I took a picture in front of the Denny's and we laughed about it. And then I realized like it all added up though. It all made sense why there was a Denny's there. And then there was like other restaurants like that. Because at first I was like, when we first walked up and down the strip that first afternoon, I was like, why is that there? Why is there a Denny's there? And there's other stores, places like that. And then it all dawned on me, like, there's something for everyone. That's the business plan.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to appease everyone. And it's all about hospitality. The entire city or the entire town is about making everyone there happy.
Yeah.
And that's why there's a Denny's, because I experienced after 2 days where I'm like, there's nothing to do here other than spend money. And I don't gamble. And I didn't spend a dollar gambling, but it was like, hey, I want to sit down on this nice balcony and have a drink. There's $30. Yeah. Or I want to go walk to this area. There's that cost money. Like you get to the point where you're like, spend so much money and doing something. You're like, I just want something easy. Yeah. And that's why you end up at Denny's, where you take your family or with your buddies and you go do like a really fancy dinner. And you and I spent more on both of those meals probably than we ever.
Those were my two most expensive meals in my entire life. Yes. And I don't regret it.
No.
At all. But I could also go back and just eat pizza from that pizza place we went to and be like super happy.
I'm pissed I didn't go back to Egg Slut. Yeah. Can we say that? We've never sworn on this show.
That's the name of a business.
That was outstanding. And I'm so mad I didn't go like the first two mornings that I was there. It doesn't make sense how good that was. It was just scrambled eggs
on a bun
with some cheese and bacon. And it was like, that's where I was like, yo, bacon in Canada blows. Because I had so much bacon in Vegas where I was like, I've never tasted anything like this. It's thick, it has different flavors, it's not just maple.
Yeah.
I hate the bacon.
And I think that's what's fascinating is there's the, I think it's Ontario does have a very like culture of you must be productive and busy in business, and customer service isn't about customer service. It's about selling people more stuff and it's about cutting costs. So it's like, yeah, here's some ready crisp instant bacon that people are eating on the fly because they're busy versus slowing down, enjoying life. And I think, you know, to masterfully weave this into Kawartha small businesses, sometimes you come to like a town to escape those things. So it's like we should have pride in what we do, have good quality and like friendly service, and not, you know, be happy with what we're creating and who we're creating it for today versus using it just as like a stepping stone to like something in the future or grander. And, you know, the byproduct of that is, you know, we get like mediocre food so many places, and the, you know, everything looks like it comes from like the same two distributors, and it's just like heated up. In Vegas, it wasn't like that at all.
I think in Vegas, they're creating their own marketing and they're creating their own vibe. Where here, and we talked personally about this offline a little bit, there's a lot of emphasis on, well, what is my neighbor doing? Like, what's my neighbor business doing? Or, well, I can't do it because of this, and I'm waiting on that, and I want these people to bring people downtown, and then I will maybe do something. Where in Vegas, it was like, we're going to create the epicenter. Everyone is going to come through here.
Yeah.
Because we've got the greatest fucking thing in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And it's like, we just want people to experience us. I don't care about my neighbor. I don't care what they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't care about, is this too expensive or is it too good or does it suit my lifestyle or whatever. To me, it's, I have to make the greatest thing, and I want everyone to try that. And I think that's really cool.
And I think the other thing, as you said that, I was thinking, they're also cool with it's a competitive environment, and no one expects them to just come here,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you're in Vegas, you know people are moving, they're walking. So it's like, how do I capture them for one? They're here for a week. I want to sell them one meal. Whereas I think in smaller towns, people, like, they get almost offended if people go somewhere else. It's like, oh, I kind of want my neighbor to be okay. But also I would rather everyone just, you know, only come here.
Yeah.
And I think there it's like, it's always a show. You're earning every customer, but you're not trying to like lock them up. Right. And you have that patience of like, more people are flowing into the city every day. People are going to come back. Mm-hmm. So yeah, maybe you get them, you know, to come back next time so that you become like a stop. Your friend, I forget his name, from Milwaukee,
Mike,
who was like, oh, we got to go to the this awesome place. And he's like, I would travel to go here. It's like the coolest thing you'll ever eat.
Milk bar,
right? Which you like, it's the most disappointed I've ever seen you.
Really?
Because you like, you're someone who, you know, one of my favorite things, like, you love food. You will like cry if food is good, which I think is like awesome.
Yeah.
And it's like a great person to explore with. And he's like so passionate and excited about this milk bar. So like, you're in line.
I was so pumped to try it.
You're like, I gotta try this awesome thing. And you take a bite and you're like, oh, it's a butter tart. But like, that was a thing that, you know, we have them around here, but that was a unique thing where someone's like, hey, every time I go to Vegas, I'm going to this place to eat this.
Yeah.
This cool thing. It was funny that it was a butter tart.
Because I was like asking them to describe it, right? And they just like, it tastes like this, and it's this, and the texture. I was like, oh, this sounds awesome. And then I don't even think I had finished my bite. Like, I don't think I had swallowed it. And I'm like, this is a butter tart. Yeah. It's just in a different form.
Yeah.
I don't even think I finished it.
Yeah.
That thing was expensive. It came home with me and I was like, I don't think I finished it. I think it was in my cupboard for like a week.
Oh, really?
It was fine. I think I actually said to him, like, it's a butter tart. And you kind of like chuckle. I'm like, it's not even a good one.
Yeah. Which is funny, but people liked it. And it was a thing you like come to town.
Oh, it was in like a massive hotel there too. Like a trendy one. So. Yeah. It was funny too to think about how good some of that stuff is and it creating its own vibe and marketing. Where like that pizza we had was like one of the best things I ate there. I don't know the name of it. I don't know if it has a name. It doesn't have a sign.
It's called Secret Pizza.
It's called Secret Pizza. Yeah, there's not even a sign for it.
That was what, because I paid on a card, so on my credit card statement, just said Secret Pizza.
But like, we saw it on Instagram a bunch of different people that were doing videos and everything.
Yeah, that was like great marketing in a way, and that there is not, it's like a viral place, but it's a hallway.
Yeah.
Where you would think that just goes to like the cleaning closet
or something. Yeah.
But it's like out of the way, sort of. We weren't even sure where it was. We're like, it's down some hallway, and they're like, want to try this one? And then it was the first one we tried. But yeah, like that was cool. And it was like, yeah, the best pizza I've ever
had
probably. And then I went to another pizza place that I wanted to go to called Pizza Rock.
Mm.
And it was a similar, like, outstanding pizza. And there was like all these like construction workers in line in front of me.
Oh, nice.
And it like wasn't overpriced. And it was just like the people working there were like creating art every day. Like, it wasn't fancy, but it was like just outstanding quality.
The biggest takeaway, do we have a lot of time left?
We got a couple minutes.
Okay, I'll go fast then. But was my golf situation in the golf scenario. So I went golfing two mornings in a row, and they were completely polar opposite of customer service, hospitality situations. Even though we just said everyone does a really amazing job down there of hospitality, I did find one place that in my mind was not up to par, pun intended. So the first golf place I went to, I don't remember the actual name. It was Desert something, Desert Pines Golf, something or another. I got there an hour before tee time. went into the pro shop or whatever. Not that it mattered, but they're calling me Mr. Garrity, and like I felt special, and it was nice, and the guy was nice and engaging. And I like had to rent clubs because I didn't bring any. And he's like, okay, like you're just going to walk out there. And he pointed to the guy. You're going to tell him who you are. They're going to give you a bucket of balls. He's going to point you over to the driving range. You're going to go there. Okay, cool. So I walked out and I talked to this guy. And he gives me the bucket of balls. He's like, okay, we're going to get your clubs for you. He brings the clubs over. He like talks about it. The clubs are beautiful. He's like pointing over there. Go over to the driving range. Come back here in at this time. Great. Walk over to the driving range. There's the guy there. He's kind of walking around, talking to people, engaging people. Lovely. I'm like, okay, I got to get back to my cart for the tea time. I go there. That guy that gave me my clubs was like, these are the people that are going to be playing with you. We'd expect you back here in like 20 minutes before your tea time. Talk to those guys, whatever. They load up the cart for you with your clubs. They're like, they give you bottles of water and the cooler and everything and golf. And it was lovely. You finish the round and the guy grabs your clubs and takes it off your cart for you. And everyone, it was awesome. It was a lovely experience. No confusion, which is the key to the next story, I think. Because like, that's what people want when they're away. They want no confusion.
I'm just gonna shout out, I've been to so many golf courses where I don't know where to go.
Oh yeah.
And it's so infuriating to me because I don't golf all the time. I don't know what it's like at that course. There's been places where I didn't even know there was like a driving range where I could like warm up, or some places have like here's a warm up bucket for like a lower price. Like all of these things that I just didn't even know. And it's like, imagine if I did know those things, how much more money you could make and just how much happier.
Oh yeah. I would be. Oh, their social media on both places was terrible. Because I was like, oh shoot, I don't have clubs, but I need to bring some balls and tees. So I brought some balls and tees, but those were included with my rental. Yeah. So now I've got like way too many balls and tees on a trip to Vegas. Anyways, the next day I get to a different golf course. I won't say the name. It doesn't matter. Not that they're ever going to listen. But I get there an hour early and I was like, hey, I'm teeing off at 9:25. And they're like, oh, actually, you're at 10:15. I was like, how could that be? I booked this like a month ago on this app. And the woman just shrugged.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, like I wouldn't have gotten here so early. And like, there was no explanation. Didn't understand what was happening. They just give you clubs from behind the counter, which sounds silly. And people that don't golf or whatever, probably like, this guy, what is he complaining about? Now I got to carry these clubs to the golf, the clubhouse, which is a thing you don't do. It's like you show up to the golf, like the center, or how do I describe it? It's like there's an inside part of a golf course where you pay, and there's like a place you can buy balls and go to the bathroom, of course, and minimally eat and get a drink or whatever. And you're supposed to leave your clubs outside.
Yeah.
I don't know what else you'd compare that to, but it's just a thing. You leave your clubs. Now walking through this whole building with these clubs like a doofus, right?
That's interesting. Yeah, they made you feel like a doofus.
Yeah.
So like if you're listening to this, like, is there an element in your business that makes people feel like a doofus?
Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, do I just go out there to the driving range? She's like, yeah, you can get a bucket of balls. I was like, okay. So I walk over and I'm like messing around a bit. And I'm like, okay, this is long because I've been here forever. And I go back and I'm kind of standing around and I'm like, where do I go? And I go back in and I'm like, is there a cart for me, like assigned to me? Normally they'll give you a number or a key. She's like, oh yeah, just grab whatever one. Kind of like shrugging it off like I was supposed to know this.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So I throw my bag, like the golf clubs I've been lugging around on the cart. And I'm like waiting. It was like a massive lineup. And then the last place, and most places I've been, and I'm sure it's maybe more common than I'm used to, but there's just like a megaphone. Like, so-and-so at the tee. And I'm like, I can't hear you, and I don't know what's happening, and there's 1,000 people in front of me. And I eventually went in, and I'm like, am I part of partnered with anyone, or am I like just by myself today? Yeah. Which would make no sense because there was like 100 people waiting. And they're like, oh yeah, there's people joining you. Like Sean just nods at me. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So like, I guess it was around my time. So I just started like going out there and like, I kind of introduced myself to the other people that were there. And then we all got on the tee and even they were like, oh, are we up or are the people behind us up now? And it was just confusion the whole time. And then end of the round or whatever, I went in and returned my clubs and they accused me of stealing a club. Yeah. Like, I brought him in and he's counting them in front of me, which was kind of weird.
Yeah.
He's like making sure none of them are missing. And he's like, well, there's one missing. And just looks at me. I'm like, well, I must have left it out there by accident. Like, I'm not stealing a club. And he just looks at me. And like, he goes back to counting. Counts in the third time now. He's like, oh, he missed one.
Yeah.
I'm like, cool, man. Thanks. Yeah. And that whole time I just thought, like, I'm just so confused here. And like, I don't want to be made to feel like a doofus. And it made me think about Thrive a lot, making sure people are not confused here. But in general, like, that's what you're selling people in any like situation, yeah, like product or service.
To loop this back to a marketing podcast like we do every time, it is about removing that confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think going somewhere where everyone, for the most part, does it well, but now this is a memorable story
of, yeah,
you know, the one place that didn't do it very well, but like, yeah, how do people feel like a doofus or silly? Because you're not going back to places where you don't feel you get it. And I think, you know, that the shrugging or the people who are sort of like, yeah, well, that's just how it goes. Like, when I see that locally, it's almost like, you know, you're just taking business for granted.
Yeah.
Where I remember hearing, you know, as a quiet guy, I can often sit, like if I'm at like a restaurant or somewhere where just me, I like people don't notice me, and mm-hmm, I'll hear them talking about stuff, and it's interesting where people are like, well, if people want this, they'll, you know, they'll guess that I have it and they will hunt me down and they will force me to take their money to give them this thing that I have.
No chance.
Which people don't do, but it's like, what are those parts in your business? And you might not even know where they are. Like, people are always getting, you know, confused by things. And it's sometimes funny what people get confused by.
Yep.
So it's just knowing to, like, you know, you have to say it over and over and over again. Like, you know, maybe it's annoying to say it over and over and over, but
sure,
like, you're going to have a new person,
yep,
who's not been there before, you know? And I think maybe in Vegas, it's like, because there's always new people, you get used to that performance of explaining, like,
yeah,
where things are. Whereas I hear a lot around here, it's like, well, our customers know this, or they know how to find the washrooms, or they know how,
sure,
to do this. And really looking and being, you know, what are all those elements where people could get confused and figure out a way around it?
Great example, maybe I'm sure to finish off now, is the Monday morning coffee we've been doing at Thrive through the podcast every single Monday for the last 6 months. Yeah. At 8:30 in the morning. And I did a, not to confuse people now, but like, I did an SEO live coaching thing a couple months ago, and a couple women were like, oh, we'd love to go to that. And they had some questions about like when it happened, how long does it go, etc. And instead of like, I don't know why I would get angry, but I didn't, of course. And I was like, this is great to know. And instead of just burying that information, I immediately changed how we talk about it,
yeah,
and like tell people it goes from this time to this time. And we adjusted stuff. We had Chelsea Boyd from Boyd Real Estate Team. I think that's how they say it. She came into Monday morning coffee today. She like texted me right before and I missed it, but she's like, I didn't know if I was just allowed to drop in. I'm so thankful she said that, because now I'm immediately going to update everything and say like, just drop in.
Yeah.
Come drop in whenever you please. Between 8:30 and 9:30. You don't need to sign up. You don't need to do anything. Just drop in. Like, people should be excited,
yeah,
when they hear stuff like this. And like, it's a hospitality thing, and thinking more about all our businesses, hospitality.
Yeah, everyone is. It's like, yeah, taking away that confusion, making people feel good.
Yeah.
Recognizing in yourself when you're like, well, of course it's,
yeah,
this way. Because I get that all the time. Like, mm-hmm, I'm like, I don't know how this works. Mm-hmm. Like, And I think I sometimes give people the opportunity to like tell me how stuff works and they don't really get it. And I don't know if that's just a mindset thing, or maybe we're beat down from like too many people complaining, or like, I don't really know, but like as a business that never ends, right? Or like every day, like someone comes in, it's like, oh, I noticed this. And maybe you don't change all the things for everyone every time, but you have to be aware of like, oh, is this a common issue or confusion, or how to take that away? We're pretty much out of time, but I'm going to fit in at the very last moment one last observation about Vegas, because you pseudo brought it up, but washrooms, we've done podcast on like washrooms, and like your washroom strategy is your tourism strategy. And something that I did not expect in Vegas was how easy it was to always find washrooms, never lined up, for the most part, always pretty clean.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anyone wanted you to go leave or like go somewhere else. So like, it was just one of those things where, you know, you go to Toronto and like, it's hard to find public washrooms sometimes, right? Or they're like not cared for, or obscure locations. There, it was like anytime you were like, oh, they should keep an eye out for a washroom, it was like just there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was one of those subtle things. Again, it was designed for people, entertainment, keep people around. Don't make them walk outside and go to the next, you know, casino or whatever. Like, it was just something that was just another detail.
They're not kidding when they say in Vegas, like, everything's designed to keep you in there. Because we were in that hotel for 3 nights. I never knew where I was when I went down to the lobby. And there was a time where I was like, oh, I think I've got it. And I would go down and I'd look around. I'm like, I have no idea how to get out of here.
Yeah.
Every single time I was lost.
Yeah.
Like somehow did like my brain just like get twisted every time you went down there? It was fascinating.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff. Keep you there. Just design.
Yeah.
Eliminate confusion. Mm-hmm. Keep people around. So great episode. Join us every Monday morning for coffee. So you can show up at 8:30 until 9:30, coffee is provided. Show up, different people every week. It's a great place to network, talk about business. We'd love to see you there. Any comments on the podcast, you want to be on the show, send us an email to setitup@kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.